have the work forgotten. That's how you put your luggage down when you get home from work. Just take 10, 15, 20 minutes for yourself before you get involved with the family. You know, just go sit under a tree or just shut the door someplace and empty it all. How was your meditation, Anna?
It was very good. It felt like a cleansing.
Mm-hmm. Complete. Mm-hmm. Good. How about you, Mahmood? Meditation
probably
was
the
quiet.
Last quarter was not as good because I've gone to shorter meditations.
Yes,
so
that was a little bit longer.
Yeah.
For you.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's good.
Yes.
Okay.
Mahaila? Yeah, you don't need to talk.
It was good.
Yeah, good.
A lot of practice
the
last week.
Huh?
A lot of practice the last week.
You had a lot of practice? Good.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really nice, Tony.
A lot of lessons revisited.
Huh?
A lot of lessons revisited.
Yeah. Lois is still in a state of meditation, so we'll leave her be. Marta, how was it for you tonight?
First I was, you know, the thoughts kept intruding, and then towards the end, then it started
just thinking. Good.
Yeah, and the opposite with me is that I wasn't meditating as I usually do every day, and gotta practice.
Yes, it does. It's like anything else. If you want to get good at it, you practice. Now, last week we talked that the very effortless, you know, you just close your eyes. That's all the responsibility as far as your body and mind goes, is to choose a place and just relax. And then your attention has to find silence, which is home. That's it. Then the rest is automatically will happen. So you're sitting comfortably, you close your eyes effortlessly, bring the attention to silence, and just sit. Let the mind think. It's more natural than breathing almost. At times, becomes that natural. Was it for you, Wendell?
It was wonderful. It was
wonderful.
Sit still.
Yeah, man, sit still.
I listened to a talk show over the weekend where a guy had written a book about such topics, and one point that he made that made me say, I'm going to go buy his book tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
was that when you meditate, you go inside of yourself, and then inside of yourself is the universe. And
yes.
He said a lot of things that made sense and consistent.
Yes, yes. You see, if it makes sense to you and sits in your heart, it's the right thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely the right
yeah.
thing.
I didn't go by his book because I forgot.
You see, now you remember.
Yeah.
Anybody else would like to share about their week? Or
I was going to ask you what... How do you define nestled?
Nestled.
Yeah.
Nestled means exactly just to sit at home. Unmoved. Home is here, right? You choose to sit at home with the eyes either open or closed. You just sit at home. It is more natural than not sitting at home. So think of it as the simplest thing you could ever do, thoughtless thing you could ever do, I mean, as far as taking thought goes, then you're in a state of being.
Yeah. I felt it a couple of times, but it was like really, like You're like sitting,
really
sitting.
Yeah, it is sinking.
Yeah, sinking in like in a little nest or
yeah.
Real like that.
Yeah.
And it just felt like just really comfortable. But
yes.
It didn't. It's the first time that I really felt that deep
that.
Into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only a short time. But
yes.
It reminded me of nestled.
Yeah, nestled. I you talk about that in Most Precious. Nestled
yes.
upon thyself.
Mm-hmm.
Nestled upon thyself is you are nestling on the self rather than here and there and everywhere. In other words, you don't follow the mind and you are nestled upon thyself. Peace is good. Have you noticed... I'm just saying it to make a point. Have you noticed how, I don't know how to put it, how the world or humanity have gotten very, very ignorant? Have you noticed? I mean, does it come to your point where you go, oh my God, this is not possible. They cannot scoop that low. It's not an individual fault, it's a universal chaos that really our tranquility is the medicine for it. You know, I often thought that many years ago when they say that when you meditate and you feel your peace that you affect other stuff, and I used to say, one person, are you kidding me? How? Now I see that when to the extent that we feel freer than we used to, whatever it is, even if it's this much or this much, to that extent, we are very, very visible to give that to the other people to do that. And I see it's like a dry fire. I see it. It's just going really beautifully. I know that this type of teaching that we're teaching here is like a wildfire. You have no idea how many places I've gone. I mean, we're so fortunate we get together here. You should see what is happening outside of this room, really. I was telling Richard, I said, we can't even make DVDs fast enough, you know. And so it is all due to the fact that we come together and we have one solid interest, and that is just to be that freedom that we are, and then the rest goes by itself.
You know, I guess that's it's interesting that you mentioned that, because actually we've been experiencing that. It's been very nice and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, I've been then put into an atmosphere where there's a lot of
harmony.
Yeah, harmony and consciousness and people, you know, a lot of, pain, and
yes.
It's like, you know, I think I could handle one person, but it's like and it's sort of like, it's putting me off.
Guard. So we talk about that. So often I was thinking, why did I end up in Reno? I mean, I don't like gambling. I really don't like casinos. I go for other people once a year or every other year. It's not that I wouldn't go in it. I mean, I don't have anything against it. It's just not my cup of tea. And the time we moved here, there was no stores, really nothing of cultural. And I had come just from Europe, where we used to go to opera and here and there. And I often wonder why we are here. And I think... we are placed in the places that there is most inducive to what we can offer and what we can get, you know, what we can get and what we can offer. Now, in the case that you are in the places that, say, your friend shares with you with a lot of misery, you know, and then you go and listen to the news and that's another one, and then your mother calls and that's another story, and then this got... When you're on the spiritual path, you no longer have compassion like you used to. You have a lot of translation going on. You know what I'm saying? Instead of having this humanly compassion, you know what's good for the receiver, the ones that is sharing with you, and you just translate their disease to nothingness, this to oneness, that to oneness, and as they are talking, you're undressing them. But you don't tell them you're undressing them. I had a telephone call from someplace today, and this story was very miserable. I mean, if I had to listen to it 30 years ago, I would say, I give up. This is just, wow, it's pretty bad. But so as she was talking to me, I was undressing completely, you know? But if I have emotion of compassion, because compassion is an emotion, if I have that humanly compassion, and I tell you what's the difference between humanly compassion, not only I am just giving him or her advice by my memory of who has done it in past that benefited, which might not be good for her at all, but also little by little, first I'm strong, then I get weakened and I go right into her story, and I become one of the member of the story. I become one of the images in the story that was not even mine. So you see, this is why a lot of people that are in self-realization or self-recognization, I really discourage them from being in the middle of people's karma. You stay out and you practice what you know best. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean you don't talk to them or ignore them. You stay out means do not find the worldly remedy for them. That is plentiful around them. What you need to do is just constant translation, and then if you have to give advice, it would be, you know what, a good book will help, or may perhaps you should do some soul searching in the hard time. Perhaps this soul searching will bring something about that will help you. You know, so to get it. Now, why do I say, when the question of compassion came, and most precious. And I said, I want my glasses, you didn't bring it. Well, we don't need it until later. Anybody has, oh, thank you. You see, let there be sunglasses everywhere. I got this wonderful looking glasses, and was the only reading glasses that actually I thought it looks good. Today, as I went to put a whole moisturizer, I sat right on it, and both of the handles just flew. And I stood up, I said, it can't be my glasses. And I looked, yeah, it was. Both of the things flew away. Wow.
They're
strong. Uh-huh.
I can see.
Oh, I wrote that book. Okay.
See. Well,
you guys look better with my glasses. It's so good. Ever since my eyes, because of I don't need to see as well. I don't notice anything on my face. You know, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's really true. Sometimes I put on this mascara here. Okay, whatever.
7 years ago, she used to tell you what time it was when you're in an airport. She'd read a watch, you know. 100 yards. Well, there's a clock over there, and she'd tell you what time it was.
Not a clock, a watch on somebody's
wrist. A little
watch
on somebody's hand.
Honestly, I think I don't need to see that far.
I think it's such a good plan.
It
your
really
eyes get weak at the time you have wrinkles.
It is. It is the best
plan.
Timing. I'm telling you. You don't see your freckles that you shouldn't be seeing. It's just all good.
I didn't get it at first.
What's wrong with you?
He doesn't have wrinkles.
He thinks he doesn't. Put your glasses on. No, I'm kidding you. I'm kidding you. No, honestly, you get to the point you don't care. Because you can't help it anyway. Okay, compassion for the 20.